The Youth's Instructor, August 12, 1897, Christ's Mission to Earth, Part 2. In their delineation of the plan of redemption, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Christ identified himself with the one revealed in these prophecies. He brought them to shine as a light upon his pathway from the manger to the cross. In his entire self-surrender, he left his dignity and his mission to the world to be discerned chiefly by his life. He set his own feet in the paths which the poor and neglected must tread. He opened his own heart to the woes which the afflicted must suffer. This was a work which the Pharisees would not do, and which brought upon Christ their hatred and scorn. And yet, how easily might Christ have poured contempt upon the pride and position and wealth of the world, upon human assumptions of honor. The 3.5 years of Christ's ministry was to begin a work so large, so important, that voice or pen are inadequate to express its greatness. Yet how humble was its beginning, and how unperceived its progress. Jesus did not, however, restrict his work by choosing an obscure position, nor did he surround himself with the glory that might have been his. He had come to restore human beings to the image of God, but he did not reveal himself to them in his divine majesty. By doing so, he could not reach men. His glory would have consumed them. It was in accordance with his own arrangements and predictions that his disciples should do greater works than he himself had done, that the success of their labors should be more fully developed. He was to go to his Father, but in his place he would send the Holy Spirit, who, with all power and efficiency, should lead them into all truth. He longed to impart to them greater knowledge, but his teachings were restrained, and his divine communications were not so full as he would have had them. To his disciples he said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." In Christ, provision was made, inclining men to love God. Just as surely as that love is genuine, it will in every case extend to love for their fellow men. This will be manifest in securing others' welfare before their own. Pride, envy, malice, selfishness, covetousness and polluting passions will be banished from the soul. The righteousness of Christ will take possession of the heart. Christ would have the human agent left free to discern his character. He will not force men to accept him, but desires to draw them to himself in order that they may find peace and rest by choosing to wear his yoke, to lift his burdens, and to come into partnership with him in this great and solemn and joyful work. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel anthem that rang over the hills and plains of Bethlehem will never cease, but will swell into full and complete harmony. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and will shine forth in the splendor of his glory. Then the voice of peace and goodwill to men will sound forth as the voice of many waters, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest.